Hi Jets fans, it's Dr. Emma here to host your review of the crazy round, round 17, just gone. The most hectic round of the A-League so far this season, I'd say. And we're going to preview round 18 coming up where we play Wellington Phoenix at home. To do that with me, I have two of our regulars. First, let's say g'day to Mitch.
Hello, everybody. I'm glad I won the Hunger Games of being able to come on this podcast. Because of this win, everyone wanted to come on. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have goals to talk about for once.
It's good.
And also to talk about those goals with me is Lucas.
Welcome, hey, how you going? And yeah, it's good to be on for a win and talk about the goals.
Yeah, goals are exciting. We're going to have so much to talk about tonight, so we'll try not to linger on any of them because five is so many. Before we get to the goals and all the fun, we obviously have to do the opening question, break that ice. This one is actually given to me by Glenn, one of the other regular podders, or should I say maybe it was Wen, maybe he doesn't want to claim it. So the question is, boys, tell me something about going overseas, something that you notice that is different, one of those little things that feels heaps weird and reminds you that you are in fact in another country. Lucas.
So the one I thought of, I know it's small, but when I was in the UK, we don't have squirrels in Australia, do we?
No.
No, yeah. I was just chilling in Hyde Park and I was like, oh, that's right. That's a squirrel. And they're not in Australia. So that's the one that came to mind for me.
First time I went to the US, I was so excited the first squirrel I saw. And then like 5 minutes later, I realized those mofos are everywhere. But yeah, you're right. They do remind you you're in another country.
That's it.
What you got, Mitch?
My one, because I'm so hooked on parkrun, and one of the main mottos of Australian parkrun is keep left. When I went overseas to Europe, the whole idea of keeping right everywhere just astounded me. And even the fact that in the tube in England, where they drive on the left, like you're still meant to stand on the right, I got really confused and I became one of those absolute pests to everyone. So that's probably the thing that comes to mind the easiest.
Also, when I was in the US, I nearly got run over by lots of bikes on shared bike pedestrian paths because of that. They'd ring their bell and I'd step to the side, but step the wrong side. So
it was the same in the UK with the escalators at shopping centres. Now it's the opposite, so I'd always be in the way.
Story of my life. Mine is from when I used to live in Norway. Those guys don't have self-raising flour.
So
to cook cakes.
So what do you have to do? Put that flour in bicarb soda or something.
Yeah,
is that how you mix the two?
You've got to add the raising agents yourself, which is, there's a pretty standard kind of formula for how much raising agent you add to how much flour, but I could just never get a cake to work in that country. It was really annoying. But obviously shipping flour internationally is not really a thing that you do because, you know, white powder's in the post and the cost of the weight of it all. So, yeah, I didn't make a good cake for many a year.
I wouldn't even think about that. It's just like one of the staples of your cupboard. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, and in the US they call it bread flour and cake flour. So I don't really know what the difference is, but yeah, didn't bake real good there either. So listeners, if you guys have one, something you think's a bit weird overseas that either they don't have that we have or vice versa, let us know. Because, you know, multicultural pod, tell us the things. Don't get racist, though. We don't want any of that. All right, so I'm going to do things a bit differently this week, and I'm going to start with the off-the-field headlines. Who wants to talk about how much we don't miss Mitch Austin?
I just like that, like, he's made this big change and he's probably really positive about it, and instantaneously nothing at all has changed. Like, for those who didn't see it, he missed an absolute sitter and hit the post. And it's just like everyone saying he didn't get enough chances with us. It instantly just blew up in their face because he got a chance with us and he got a chance with Sydney, and it's just fallen over instantly. And I honestly love it because he's a coastie that I never rated, and I'm glad he's gone.
Is he a coastie?
Well, I'm pretty sure his first A-League club was Central Coast. He definitely played for the coast.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, thank you, Linda Drummond, for continuing your curse, making Mitch Austin your favourite and having him subsequently immediately leave the club. Unfortunately, though, now she has chosen Glenn Moss as her new favourite, which I think is a little bit risky, and I'm not very happy that she's done it. So if anything happens to Glenn Moss in the next couple of weeks, that is also going to be the Linda Drummond curse.
What is her hit list at the moment? Who's she seen out? It's like been multiple, right?
Yeah, she's taken out a lot of players, starting with Andy Naboot, and pretty much everyone who's left the club since then. Linda has subsequently picked as her favourite. She did take a sacrificial hit by picking Wayne Brown to get rid of him. she did declare him publicly as her favourite, knowing that it was a lie, just to use that power for good. But, yeah, Linda, stop it. Okay, Lucas, do you want to tell us how you feel about Matt Miller signing with the Jets for next season and poaching the Coastie's only good player?
Yeah, it's a good feeling, and they must be very, very angry because, you know, the season, it probably can get worse, but, yeah, it's rock bottom, isn't it? But, yeah, he seems like a good player. He does a lot of running, so I think he'll fit in with Ernie's style.
So do you think with Miller joining the club that one of our other fullbacks has a defined time left to stay with us? I didn't think we'd need another fullback.
Yeah, I saw in some of the chats on social media that I'm not sure. Georgeski, is he off contract at the end of this season?
Or
is he
correct?
I should have researched this before asking the question.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's a worry because I really do like him. He's good. So if it's a swap, then I'm not happy. But if we can keep them both, then it just gives us you know, extra cover for the fullback positions, unless he's capable of playing somewhere else.
Coasties did let him play on the weekend, though, right, Mitch? So there were stories that he got sent home from training when they found out. Did they really let the ball drop on that one, like they do all the time on the field?
It sounds like it's an absolute masterstroke from Griff, and he sent an email to like an invalid email address or something, giving them warning. But really, it just highlights how unprepared they are off the field and logistically just really poor at the moment, that they waited so long for pretty much their most promising player to get into contract negotiations. So it wound up the Coast immensely, and I love every minute of it.
Do you think that Griff put a lot of spammy words in the email to make it go to junk?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope he even put, like, you know, square brackets, spam, and square brackets, we want to sign Matt Miller. Like, that'd just be awesome.
Do you want to make your penis larger? Also, we're going to negotiate with Matt Miller.
You will never believe fact number 7. Click here.
Yeah, well, sorry, Coasties. But, yeah, how about those Coasties? Hey, let's just talk about that real quick. The Coastie capitulation on the weekend. Let's just gloat for a moment. Who wants to give a quick recap of how much they suck?
A lot. They are so good. I'm loving this season, even if we're not doing the best. This is just so great. 2-0 and you've effed it up again.
Yeah, this was a hectic round with a lot of crazy stuff going on, starting with our game, so it was kind of great. Also, in other news, this Wednesday, the tickets for our Champions League fixture go on sale. Wednesday for members, Thursday for normies. If you're not a member, you should be. And the game is on Tuesday the 12th. Boys, are you guys going to be getting tickets to that?
So is that next Tuesday the game's on?
Tuesday the 12th. I think that's how maths works, yes.
Yeah, right. That is really soon. No, this is exciting. And members' tickets are like $10 or something like that. It's pretty great. I remember when we were in the ACL back in, 2008, it was so cool to watch midweek football against like great teams, and I had a lot of fun just getting to as many of those games as I could. So I encourage anyone, if you can, spend the coin and go watch the games, because it's something completely different to a normal A-League game. It's a lot of fun, and we don't get to do it very often at all. What's it been, 11 years?
Yeah, it has been a while. Lucas, do you reckon our win came at the right time, get people excited about it again and people might actually show up?
Yeah, good timing. And the price sounds good as well to get people to go along. And it is a different experience. I've been really looking forward to it because I've never been to a Champions League game. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But hopefully I will be able to attend it.
I think there'll be a few Jet streamers who it'll be their first time. So it'll be a little bit exciting for everyone. Wednesday members, Thursday normies. Get on, get your tickets. Super cheap, super fun. And I'm sure it'll be a spectacle. But we do have to call it Hunter Stadium because of the advertising rules, so just remember that. So before we talk about the boys, our girls also played the Wanderers this week in what was their final game of a pretty, I don't even know the word for it, horror season. It was a pretty bad run for the girls with injuries all over, struggling to win games at times. But we did win against the Wanderers for our last one, and it was at home, and there was a good turnout. Lucas, you watched that. Do you want to give us a little rundown about the vibes?
Sure, yeah. So it was against the Wanderers, obviously. So, but we did, even though it was the Wanderers, we put in a really good performance. 4-1, Tessa Tamplin scored a really good... Actually, all the goals are actually really good. My pick, I think it was Tara Andrews. It was like a left-footed shot from outside the box. It was really, really good. But yeah, it's something strong to build on to for next season, because with all these big players out, you know, Stengel and Van Egmond and that, we have a lot of these young players that are filling the void. So it'll be good to see what they can do with more W League games under their belt.
Yeah, and I guess it was good to finish off the season against the Wanderers, who did come bottom of the table. We managed to finish 7th, but, you know, that's only out of 9. But Wanderers were convincingly the bottom of the table. Does anyone have any thoughts on what went wrong for the Wanderers girls this season, Mitch?
Well, I think, like, I read that the aggregate scoreline between us and the Wanderers in the women's was 9-2. And I don't know how you can't consider that a successful season, to beat any Wanderers team 9-2 in aggregate. That's just a lot of fun in general. Something I did see on the socials was the game on the weekend. It looked like it was a really good little crowd. It was at number 2, I think it was. And it looked like a great little crowd and everyone had a lot of fun. And it seemed like it was really nice vibes to end the season on. So, you know, I'm hoping everyone, including me, can get to some more games next season.
Yes, if you didn't see the girls this year, try harder next year, because they really do put on a good match, and the support there is really quite phenomenal. So, yeah, sorry for the girls. I did have us on paper beginning of the season. I thought best team the girls have ever had in the history of the Jets W League. But unfortunately, what is on paper at the beginning of the season is not always what ends up panning out. And we took a lot of bad hits this year, so... better luck next year, girls. But the A-League still goes on, so we won't dwell on the W-League. For once, we have exciting highlights to play, and I think more than 50% of the highlights are going to be us scoring goals. So let's throw to those now.
It is Western Sydney Wanderers against the Newcastle Jets on your Friday night. And these two teams love Fridays. It's the 5th time in a row that they do battle on this stage. Yeboah making the return run. Riera keeps it for himself and forces a good save from Moss.
Oh, fantastic save from Moss.
On the march, Petratos. Shooting range for Petratos! What a hit from Dimi! Western Sydney 4 behind and Dimi Petratos. He enjoyed that one. And then within minutes, it leads to the scoring of a goal. Is there a second one on offer now for the Jets? Petratos leaves it for Georgievski. And then the follow-up from Hoffman. Jets have got 2. Jason Hoffman doubles the lead. Georgievski, it arrives with Vargas. He's lagged. It's a penalty. And as we move into 2 minutes of additional time, the Jets have a spot kick to go 3-0 up. Roy O'Donovan, a picture of concentration. Vedran Janjetovic waits for O'Donovan's penalty, which is saved. Back to O'Donovan, and he scores on the follow-up. It is 3 before half-time, and the Newcastle Jets are putting the Wanderers in a world of hurt. And that little 4 days is what's left them in such a parlous state. And speaking of which, the Wanderers are in a parlous state as Redenton scores. It's 4. And the procession continues. Janjetovic in no man's land. The build-up continues with Hoffman. He's legged. It's another penalty. It's another Newcastle penalty. His second penalty of the night is pinpoint. And into the bottom right he goes to make it 2 on his own personal scorecard. And a corner to attack here. Into the near post. How about that? Again, Mitch Duke scores 2nd in his Western Sydney debut. Some optimism and some hope for Western Sydney. Duke, and he draws one of the saves of the night at the end of the night from Moss. And the referee has seen enough.
Newcastle Jets blitzed 5 in under an hour. And even though Mitchell Duke was able to get a goal on his Wanderers debut, the points were well and truly safe. And the Newcastle Jets climb back towards the top 6 has received a big boost tonight. 2 for Roy O'Donovan. And 5 means that Western Sydney lose their 6th straight at home.
Thank you again to Fox Sports, who we steal those highlights from each week. How good is it to listen to those goals, Lucas?
Yeah, it's great, and even better against Western Sydney, who are a big wreck at the moment, aren't they? But yeah, it was really good. Like the game, it's just like everything clicked. And I know it was the Wanderers, but it's still nice to score that many.
All right, so Lucas did just say the Wanderers are a wreck. Mitch, did we actually play a good game, or did we just play against the Wanderers?
I think I'm a little different to a lot of people I've heard talk about the game. I didn't think we were immensely better than the Wanderers in general. I just thought that we defended and they didn't defend. I thought it was a really end-to-end game. You could tell that we had some more experience out there, and it really showed in some of the plays that happened. But Ernie will talk about it and whatnot. It's just our typical season where we've created a lot of opportunities, but this time we actually came through and scored off a lot of them, which we haven't done this year. Like, I think the stats are Dimmy is by well and far the highest opportunity creator in the league, and then he's just absolutely put on a masterclass on the weekend. So it's just nice that we're finally, you know, finishing some of the chances that we're making for once.
All right, we're not going to play the post-match presser tonight because Mitch just covered literally everything that Ernie said. That was pretty much everything Ernie said in 5 minutes in 1 minute. So, yeah, bang on the money there. He talked about Dimmy, he talked about the making the chances, and he talked about the fact that we probably didn't actually play that much better than the Wanderers. And he actually mentioned how well the Wanderers played and the similarities between the teams multiple times. So no post-match presser, we won't waste your time. Even though Ernie does have a better accent than Mitch, could you deliver that paraphrasing in your best accent next
My
time,
accent's
please,
okay,
Mitch? Yeah, it's no Ernie, though, is it? All right, before we talk about the specific goals, we're now on 20 goals for the season. 5 goals in one game and 20 goals for the season. That's 25% of our goals scored in this last game. Are we looking at this as a good thing, Lucas? Is it the floodgates are now open and more goals will come? Or is it, Jesus, we should have had more than 15 goals to be adding to and this should not even be a talking point?
It shouldn't be a talking point because 15 goals this far in the season. I saw something the other day that was showing how many goals we scored around this time last season. I know it's tough to compare the two, but yeah, we need to score. That's in part as well because Roy was away, obviously, with suspension, so there would have been goals there, and we had obviously Naboot and, you know, everything going for us last year, so that's the reason why. Yeah, but we still not good enough to score. There's like too many low scoring games.
My heart's broken because it's clear Lucas didn't listen to last week's pod where I said exactly that. Since he's crediting it to reading it somewhere and not hearing it from my lovely mouth, but I'll forgive him for that. Mitch, do you reckon the rain helped?
Yeah, I found it extremely scrappy. And I think a lot of the balls we had played in and whatnot wouldn't have come off if it was a slick, nice, perfect surface. Something I didn't touch on, which I don't know if Ernie did. I know I've stolen his presser, but the amount of luck that was on our side in that game was just ridiculous. And in a game where it's that wet, you need a lot of luck. You need the ball to bounce the right way. But last year we had a lot of it. This year we've had slim to none. And then in the game on the weekend, we had our whole season's worth bank up into one game. So it was the perfect game for it to happen for us.
Uh-oh, do we have any luck left then?
Let's hope so. We've just got to, you know, what, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or find a unicorn or something.
Yep. Hope so. Okay, let's talk about all those amazing goals then. So our first one came about 17 minutes in. Mitch, would you like to recount that for us?
Yeah, I remember watching it at the time and I thought I saw this, but I haven't seen a highlight that goes back far enough, but my memory is that Jugarkovic gets the ball pretty deep in our half, does a nice little turn, and then plays a through ball to Hoffman. And it was like the perfect start to the play. But also, to Jugarkovic's right, my memory is Dimi started pretty much right next to him and just made a beeline, sprinting straight forward with one thing in mind, which was, I'm going to get to that goal. And so Hoffman's done some nice touches, a really odd kind of ball across, and perfectly found Dimi with that bit of luck and that bit of rain to help the ball kind of traject in a weird way. Dimi's done the cut in on his left foot, which he's copped a lot of criticism for doing this year. A lot of people are saying he's been doing it too much and taking too many touches, but his cut in on his left is exactly the example of why he's been doing it, because he is lethal from the right when he's doing that, and he's completely fooling defenders. Nice cut in, really nice shot, maybe a better keeper than Vedran would have stopped it maybe, but it's just absolutely peachy and I loved every second of it.
Well recounted. Mitch does not have dementia, because that matches exactly my notes. So well done, mate. You have reenacted that well. Yes. Next goal came about 4 or 5 minutes later. And the same trio again were involved. Stevie starting it off, and then Dimi's little back heel. Georgie had a shot. Georgie's shot got rebounded, and then Hoffie managed to weave it between, I can't remember who the defenders were, but there was a crowd of defenders around him, and he managed to lift it just right. That was my favourite goal, because obviously it was my man Hoffie. But I just thought that one, getting it out amongst the kind of ruckus of all the defenders and attackers that were in the way of goal then, I thought was beautiful. But now that you mention it, Mitch, maybe a better keeper might have stopped it. But again, total peach, perfectly weighted, just lovely.
And how good was it, that second goal you're talking about? How good was the sheer amount of numbers of players we had just rushing the box? Like, we had, you know, about 3 follow-ups on that. It was just superb to see everyone so proactive to try and just put the ball in the net whichever way they could. It was great to watch.
Yeah, we almost got in our own way a little bit. It was a little bit too congested. But yeah, we managed to pull it off. So that was lovely. And I do love watching Hoffie celebrate. And I do enjoy when he can score goals, because he has done well this year to run around and do all the positions. So, yeah, but it wasn't over. Before halftime, we managed to score again. Lucas, do you want to recount that one for us, please?
Yes, it was a penalty slash, well, a second chance of the penalty. Roy was very lucky, because with save, it just went right back to him. I thought once it was saved, I was like, oh, God. But, yeah, usually, you know, with your luck, it rebounds to a defender, or if one of your players are following in, you get another crack. But it came right back to him, and he just put it back in. And yeah, but it was good. 3-0 half time. Can't complain.
But that takes some poise, right, to be able to get it on the follow up, and it was right to his chest. It wasn't to his feet. He had to bring it down and take that shot again.
Yeah, he did. He took 2 touches, because usually when it comes right back, anyone else, usually they just hit it first time, because they know they missed it and they go into like panic mode. But he just took a touch and then put it back in. So no dramas.
Did not penalty.
And even the penalty getting awarded, like Dr. Emma did, it seemed like Ronnie just had way too easy a trek into the box, and we just got a really simple, nice ball to him, and then he just played into the defense. Like, do you think we're making, before this game, do you think we've been making enough runs like that into the box other than Roy?
Yeah, I mean, we have been getting people in the box, because we have been getting the ball to them to get shots. But I think Vargas played that for the pen quite well. He knew that the player was behind him and, you know, took that extra kind of step to make sure there was contact. There was lots of debate in the commentary box about whether or not that should have been a pen, or whether because whoever the Wanderers player was, name I've forgotten, they're all nobodies this year, let's be honest.
Because number 18, I can find it out for you.
I really don't care, it's fine. Because he did get the ball.
I just remember he was very angry and he was complaining that it wasn't a pen, but it was a pen, because Ronnie's taken that turn or in that direction knowing that the contact's going to come, and
exactly,
that's what scores the penalty.
Yeah, so I think that was well worked by Ronnie, and maybe we need to get a few more of those, because everyone else is doing it, so why not? And I think that was our first pen for us this year. Is that correct, boys? Or this season?
Ernie will tell you that, I think. Yeah, I think he's been saying it a lot recently, so it was pretty nice to see.
Yep, definitely. So the goals were coming so thick and fast, that's hard to say when you have a lisp, that even Matt Redenton managed to score. We were all questioning him coming back into the lineup after his week off. Even Redenton managed before. Mitch, you recounted the first one so well. I'll let you have another go.
It was nice. The big thing I took out of that, and I took out of a lot of the game, was the Wanderers gave Dimmy way too much time and space to make things happen, which is something he hasn't really had the opportunity to this year. So he had the ball out on the right. Llorente's standing in front of him but not really doing any form of pressure. And Dimmy just plays a decent enough cross in that any normal keeper would have perfectly handled, caught, or probably punched out. But Vedran Janjetovic did his best Flappy Bird impersonation and basically just gifted it to the feet of Redenton. Redenton's had a nice little, like, recover turn, nice just a side foot in. I think he even nutmegs the guy to get it in, so that's worth two goals. And for someone that's been copping a lot of abuse from fans, including myself, it was nice to see him get a reward. And also just the fact that for one of our six or eight midfielders who usually plays a bit deeper, the fact that he was that far forward for an attacking play, he was in the right position, and it was a neat little goal.
All right, this is something I want to talk about real quick, since you did mention Mr. Flappy Bird. Were you surprised, Lucas, that Vedran did get to start after the corkers he's had lately?
I was surprised, but I think that the backup is a youth keeper, and I don't think there's any chance that he's going to get a go unless, he could now, but I thought that he would have been benched for this game, but I don't think he has any choice, Marcus Babbel, in starting him now.
Do you reckon he's getting benched for the next game?
That Wanderers lineup was probably the most senior lineup Babbel's played in the last month. Like, their youth team either won the National Youth League or came pretty close to it. And he's just been chucking youth in general. I'm super surprised that the goalkeeper has lasted this long when he's pretty much replaced the whole team with youth already. Like, I'm so surprised that Babbel hasn't basically publicly stoned Vedran by now. It's becoming a bit of a meme.
Yeah, and at this point, what have they got to lose? Put the youth in and, you know, do some team building rather than they've got nothing. They're not getting anywhere this season, are they?
Yeah, they're just battling with Brisbane Roar into who can avoid getting overtaken by the Mariners, I guess.
Yeah, that fight for the wooden spoon, I guess. I guess that keeps things interesting at both ends of the table. Also, Mitch, I will mention you mentioning Dimmy not being crowded for once. That's another thing that Ernie said in the post-match press conference. So I don't know if you've done your homework or whether you guys are psychically linked or what's going on here, but this is getting spooky. Because I don't think you did your homework. That doesn't seem like a thing you'd do.
Even when I hosted this podcast, I didn't do my homework. I never do my homework.
All right, Lucas, you are Mr. Penn today. Tell us what happened when Hoffie got tripped in the box.
Yeah, it was pretty similar movement to Vargas's one, except I think Hoffie sold it better, really. And then the pen was just, I guess, how the first one was supposed to go. It was just nice in the corner, and I think Vedran went the opposite way, but either way, it was a good pen anyway.
No, yes. Vedran went the right way, and it was really, like, it was probably the best thing he did all night. He nearly got to it too. It was actually pretty funny that when he gets something right, it still goes wrong for him.
Yeah, he's just not having a good year.
I'm starting to feel a bit bad for him. Do you think he's going to play for the Coasties next year or?
The graveyard.
Seems likely.
Well, their keeper's trying to out-meme him at the moment anyway, right?
Yeah. There has been questions about whether Ben Kennedy has gone in as an undercover agent on behalf of the Newcastle Jets. I kind of like that idea. He's probably
That's why we have no money for a second marquee. We're just paying him to screw up someone else's season.
Yes, it does feel very Cold War, but I like it. If it's true, I like it. One other thing,
mind games, isn't it?
You can't play mind games with Coasties, though. Like, think about that.
Yeah, true. So it's a waste of money. We should just cut him off.
Yeah, well, it's still fun to speculate. To tease. One other thing Ernie did say in his post-match presser, since I'm not playing it, is he'd said if anyone he joked that if anyone got a hat trick, he was going to buy them dinner, and that Roy refused to come off because he really wanted that hat trick. We did look good for more goals, didn't we? We had a few more shots as well as the ones that went in. is this just finally our conversion rate coming good, that if you try enough, one of them's got to go in? Do you think that's possible, Mitch?
I think the week that we let Mitch Austin go, we start burying our chances. I'm just trying to dig into Mitch Austin again.
It can't be a coincidence.
Actually, hey, we're talking about it and you're picturing it, so it must be true.
I got up his Wikipedia page. He was actually born in England. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that?
Mitch Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did know that.
I didn't. I don't know where he was from. I just
he's also a twin.
Because he was a coastie.
He's also a twin. There's all the fun facts you'll ever get about Mitch Austin.
Yeah.
But we don't need to talk about him anymore.
Like we were talking about before, like next week is the ACL and we've got Wellington this upcoming Thursday. I know, particularly hearing stories from Luvo and co, like the ACL is one of the funnest times ever to be an A-League player. It's such a good experience. And the players will be absolutely buzzing to have fun, to play good football, and to also increase their transfer value and like their general, you know, people knowing them in the marketplace. So there's not a more prime time for them to absolutely just switch it on football-wise, and it's going to be a pretty exciting couple of weeks, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Someone was saying this week, they were talking about not bringing any extra players in. Are we surprised that we haven't gone and gotten ourselves an Asian player for our extended roster for this ACL?
I'm surprised. I mean, I thought the entire reason that Mr. Lee bought us was so we could get into the ACL and he could have his Chinese player and show off his little club to everyone. And maybe his money issues have definitely come into factor there. But the other two teams in Australia that are in the ACL is Victory and Sydney FC. And Victory have Kesuke Honda. And
is he going to play a game ever? Yeah.
I think he's on his way back, but God, he's good.
Haven't they been saying 1 week for like 6 weeks?
Yeah, we went through that with Michael Bridges as well. I think they're taking their time and they're not in a rush. Like they're still doing pretty decent with
their games. They're taking their time. They're taking the piss.
Yeah. Sydney just signed an Iran player who's played in the World Cup and I think scored in the World Cup. And it's just kind of, where's our Asian player? We have a 3+1 policy with the foreign players. We're definitely leaving Redenton at home in the ACL. And do we have another one we have to leave home? Do you know, Emma?
Yeah, sorry, I haven't done my homework either.
Who have we got? We've got Roy, Jair, Ronnie, and Redenton. Do we only have the four foreigners or is there another one? I think that's it. That must be it. So, yeah, we'll keep Redenton home and we'll just play the other guys. But, yeah, I'm super surprised that we haven't had the luxury and ability to find anyone to bring in just for this yet.
Mm. Yes, it is very interesting, anywho. Okay, Lucas, listen to these stats from this game and tell me whether you think we really should have won. We had 42% of possession, 44% of that in territory. We only had 248 passes completed compared to the Wanderers 425. Our passing accuracy was 72% compared to their 85%. Our balls into the area were 27 versus their 48. And we had 5 corners versus their 10. In terms of intercepts, they were higher again, 36 to 28. But we were well up on the clearances, 21 for us and 8 for them. They, however, had 17 fouls conceded, so discipline watch for the Wanderers, and the 1 yellow card for us. Those stats don't really scream winning team, do they, Lucas?
No, they do not, but stats aren't always the conclusion. Like, the main ones are, like, goals scored and stuff, but possession and stuff. Fouls conceded is a tough one to judge, but even though they might look better with corners and stuff, they didn't do anything with them, so... And was it interceptions and clearances? They had more interceptions, but we had more clearances. Is that right?
Yeah, they had more intercepts. We had more clearances.
Well, they must have been intercepting the ball in an area of the pitch that wasn't dangerous or something. So, yeah.
Yeah. Stats do need to be in context.
I like these podcasts without Dave involved because you can rip on stats and not get in trouble.
Yeah, take that, stat man. Did you guys go to the trivia? Was that still on or did it get cancelled?
I think I didn't go. I think Dave and Luke went to the Crown and Anchor Jets trivia.
If any of the rest of us had gone, they would have been carrying us anyway.
I was going to say, Dave would have slayed that for sure. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't win or we would have heard about it.
Maybe no, they lost.
They came third, but they basically the questions they didn't get correct were like incredibly up in the air. Like I think they were saying there was a question like, you know, who in the Jets' current squad is not Australian, but included in the answer was like Georgeski and Vujica and the guys that have dual nationalities and stuff like that.
Oh,
so okay. Like apparently the question, like a lot of the teams got the easy ones right, but the dubious ones are really like you could still debate them. So that's what like separated the winners from the losers.
Okay.
I'm glad I wasn't there.
Poorly done quiz then, because yeah, if they're Australian, you just say they're Australian if they've also got a dual nationality anyway.
But good on the Crown Anchor for doing something different. Like it's the first Jets trivia I remember hearing about, and the whole time since the Jets have been a club, really. Like so, it's good on them for
long
having
overdue.
To go and yeah, and then yeah, shout
points
out to
for
Dave.
Trying.
My understanding is at halftime he's still watching the game at the Crown and Anchor, having fun, but going, what the hell's happening tonight? And then he's got like dinner on the table at home and dessert, and the kids are probably out, so it's just him and the missus. But he said, I can't move from this table because I will jinx this. So he had to stay there for the rest of the game and not go home and ruin a good thing. So shout out to the Dave for doing that for us.
Got to take those bullets sometimes. Hanging out in a pub, that's difficult. I feel very sorry for him. Thanks for taking that bullet, Dave.
You're the man. You're the MVP.
Let's not get carried away. I'm sure he had beer. All right. Well, there's probably not much nice to say about the Wanderers other than their stats paint probably a better picture than what their scoreline did. Except, can we talk about Mitch Duke for a second? Because of all the hectic things that happened in the A-League this week, that was the first of the hectic things. Returning to the A-League after however many years he's been away in Japan. I won't get too nice about him because I know he is an ex-coastie. That dude literally scored in seconds. He came on and he scored. Like, you couldn't make this shit up. Will that turn the Wanderers season around or are they still screwed? Mitch, you can talk about Mitch Duke since he has your name.
I think it was like 19 seconds from when he got subbed on to when he actually scored, but it was like 2 seconds of gameplay or something. It was just ridiculous, but it's pretty much the perfect start for the guy. They brought in Yeboah a few weeks ago, and then they've brought this guy in. So Babel's starting to make some changes to the squad that he wants to, and both those players have had promising moments already. So it'll be interesting to see how much changes. But like you guys were saying before, like, it's probably too late for those changes and they might as well just throw caution to the wind and play some young guys in the meantime. So nothing drastic will happen this year, but, you know, it's could be promising for them until their next hilarious collapse, maybe.
Lucas, do you reckon Mitch Duke's thinking, should I've peaked too soon?
Well, he celebrated like he found like a cure for cancer or I don't know, you know, like he was so happy, which I can understand, but to be honest, I think he signed an 18th-month contract, and like, I just don't know why he went there, because like, it's a wreck. And usually, like, you know, Wanderers have really high turnovers of players and coaches. So yeah, I don't see anything good coming out of it except that one moment of happiness for him.
The Fox commentators were talking like he was the savior.
The main reason he came home is he's from Western Sydney, so I think that was the appeal for it.
There you go. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the Fox Sports commentators think he's going to turn their season around, but let's see what happens there. All right, does anyone have any general comments on the game before we talk about the lineups, in which we're going to seg into how we think the guys are going to line up this Thursday at home against Wellington? Does anyone have any general comments about the feels of that game?
I reckon we've covered it. Like, finally we're just burying our opportunities and let's just let the floodgates open.
Yep, sorry to anyone listening in North Queensland where the floodgates did get open and destroyed a bunch of houses this week. That was not what we were going for there. Lucas, how in general did you see that game?
Yeah, just summed it up, converted our chances on the day, in the game, which is good.
All right, well, as we move into talking about the lineups and how we think everything's going to line up for next week, three of our boys, Hoffy, Dimmy and Topper Stanley, made it into the A-League Team of the Week this week. Lucas, did you have a different man of the match or was it one of them?
I haven't really got a man of the match. All three could stake their claim. I'll give it to Dimi for that cracker goal.
Mitch, do you agree?
Yeah, I like Dimi. I also liked our two centre mids, Redenton and Jugarkovic. I don't think I could have asked for much more from either of those two.
Yeah, I was going to go Hoffy, but then decided I'm probably being a little bit biased. And I think Dimi probably was the change maker in that game. So I'm going to back him too. All right, so talking about the lineup, obviously a talking point, I guess, is that Kane Sheppard was on the bench and did not get used. I'm guessing he was part of the plan, but when you're 3 or 4 or 5 mil up, you probably don't need to send Kane Sheppard on. Mitch, were you surprised that he was on the bench and surprised that he didn't get used?
No, not at all. Like, summer of football or whatever, it's got 26 games in 25 days. It's like a weird Kentucky tour of A-League football. And so, like Ernie has said all season, that the guy isn't quite fit enough. And he's been doing well, but I think it was just a simple case of give him a rest, let the other guys do it, and the other guys did do it. I think you might talk about it in a sec, but there's little reports that Dimi might be out for this upcoming game, so it's probably worked out perfectly to give him a rest for Thursday's game.
Yeah, if I was a smarter host, I would have segged to that after we talked about him being man of the match. So, yeah, the word on the grapevine is Dimi has a slight back injury and might miss out on this game. So, Mitch, you've brought it up. So if Dimi's out, are you going to put Kane Sheppard to start instead of him or someone else?
Yeah, you'd probably maybe put Sheppard on the left, Chuck Hoffey on the right, or just put Sheppard on the right, and you'd leave everything else similar to the same if there's no fitness issues. What do you think, Emma?
I want to see Kane Sheppard back in, and your suggestion is sensible, but Ernie continues to surprise me when I think that there's a sensible option. He does something completely different, so I do not know. Lucas, do you have thoughts?
With Sheppard?
Yeah. Or just any thoughts?
Yeah. I think
football-related, preferably.
The summer football. I think you'll get some quite a lot of game time on Thursday.
Cool. So one other thing Ernie mentioned post-match presser was Kantorovsky and Jair needed a run and that Hoffy was only subbed because he's sitting on 4 yellows. So do you think we're going to see Kantorovsky back in the starting lineup or Jair back in the starting lineup, or do you think they're both going to continue to have runs from the bench? Lucas, do you think we'll see either of them have a go?
I don't think they'll start. I think they'll come off the bench, yeah. Is Kantorovsky back to full fitness? I don't think he would be. Maybe close. So it's possible, but I think he'll keep it as is because it was a good performance.
I'd say he didn't look fully fit, but he could have been working very hard this week, so who knows. Mitch, is it just a matter of time before Hoffy gets that fifth yellow and has a week off, and do we want to time that strategically?
Yeah, I mean, time it before you play the Wanderers or Brisbane Roar next, like one of the crap guys. Don't time it before the Mariners game because you'd want him in the Mariners game just for a bit of fun. It's coming. It'll be largely out of his control. He doesn't go out there to try and get yellows. So on the Kantorovsky thing, I think they will be silly to rush him back, particularly with his history of persistent injuries. So and how well Jugarkovic and Redenton played against the Wanderers, there's no need to rush him back if they're fit enough.
Yeah, so Redenton, I guess, finally started gelling with Jugarkovic this week. We've talked before about them just not having the right chemistry. Lucas, do you think we finally struck that, or did we just get lucky this week?
Could be luck. Maybe they've finally got their blend right, like someone can push forward and someone can stay back. But yeah, it looked good on Friday night. Because they really haven't gelled since the beginning of the season, have they? But yeah, look good.
Yeah, and do you think, Mitch, that Roy and Vargas have finally started kind of gelling together in the front there?
No, I don't. Like, I think things definitely paid off for us in that game, but I don't vibe that Vargas is getting better with us at the moment. If anything, I think he's stagnating or a little bit disinterested. Whether the gelling is coming or not, I don't know. But, yeah, he's definitely kind of the one that sticks out as not vibing it as much as the rest. And particularly if Dimi's going off for this Thursday game, it'll be interesting to see if he steps up a bit.
Speaking of not vibing it, does anyone have the down low on what happened with Nigel Bugard at the end? I was going to ask Andy because he was at the game, but he piked on us at the last minute. So I didn't watch the game originally on TV. I was out and about, so I listened to it on ABC Radio. And as they were doing their post-match kind of recap, the sideline reporter chimed in and said, Boogs has just done a storm off at the end of the match, walked over to the fans, and then something's happened and he's cracked it and stormed off and an assistant's gone running after him and there's been some kind of drama. Has anyone heard anything about that, or is that just a flash in the pan?
I think he's too big a professional to let anything petty and minor really sway him. So hopefully it's just a bit of passion on his part for whatever reason. And yeah, I haven't heard anything.
The words from Shannon Byrne on the sideline from ABC were, "You wouldn't know he was a man that won by the look on his face."
Well, you wouldn't know that Ernie just won a game with half of his celebrations either.
Excellent point. There have been a few excellent photos this week of the celebrating the goals and Ernie's frozen face. I had to check that they weren't photoshopped. They were that good, but yeah, they're the real thing. So.
That one you're talking about looks super photoshopped too. The one you're thinking
except
about.
The fox icon is over the top of it in a way that you could not possibly have done it. Well, I guess you could have if you're good at Photoshop, but I mean, how many people would make that effort?
No, it's a good one.
So, boys, is there anything you'd do differently this week from last week's starting lineup?
Dimmy's out, obviously. I think keep it as similar as possible. Yeah,
do you think Dimmy is out, or do you think that's just caution?
I don't know. I mean, I hope that if he is injured, we don't overdo him because he's so important. And particularly with Tuesday's ACL game, we definitely want him playing that. So it's probably a bit of caution for that as well.
Yep, smart, very true. I guess we do need to think about that with the ACL game coming up, who we want to rest and what's more important to us now. And I think last pod I was saying, well, we don't really have much left to play for this A-League season. Let's just throw ourselves all into the ACL and never mind the regular games. But now we've actually, had a couple of wins and we're kind of creeping back up and, we're still in seventh, but we've widened the gap on eighth and we've narrowed the gap on sixth. And is it maybe badly timed that we do need to kind of trade one off against the other now?
Well, Lucas, do you see any hope with us getting top six and finals still, or do you think the gap's still big? Like, I know we talk about every week, but what do you vibe at the moment?
It's tough to say because I honestly, before this game, I was thinking, we're just going to finish seventh. It just felt like a seventh season, but now it looks a bit better, so I think we should still focus on both the same concentration, but just rotate players to accommodate those fixtures kind of thing, because a deep ACL run would be awesome, and making the top six would be good as well.
It's Phoenix who are in sixth position, so winning against Phoenix this week is our best chance, I guess, of catching up to that space. I mean, there is 8 points, and obviously we can only get 3 if we win, but, City are only 1 ahead of Phoenix, and Adelaide are only 2 ahead of them. So, to get us into even the top 4 is only a couple of wins away. So, it is kind of a downside now.
That's it. And it only takes, let's say, Wellington to lose twice, and then we're so close to them. So that's how close this league can be. I guess see how we go Thursday and go from there.
Exactly. And when Wellington did lose this last round to Glory, so they're not on a streak or anything, so if we can keep them back, then we do have a chance. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. What about the Phoenix boys? Who do we need to watch out for on the Phoenix team? They have had a better season this season than their last, and they do have a lot of people who can possibly score goals in their team. So, Lucas, who do we need to watch out for? Or what are the key matchups, I guess, of this game against the Phoenix?
I guess it's the usuals. Roy Krishna, Saprit Singh, I guess. I haven't really been following who their star players is. I know that with the Perth game, I watched this, I think it was the first 45, and David Williams, it was 0-0, and he hit the post. I think it was the crossbar. If that went in, that could have been a totally different game. So there'll still be They're still having a great season, and it'll still be a big challenge. So I think we just need to be on our game as a team, opposed to individual performances.
Agreed. It is a team sport. That is super important. Mitch, do you have anyone special that we need to watch out for?
The easy one is Krishna. I'm pretty sure he's winning the Alex Tobin points tally at the moment. He's dangerous. And then just in general, Mark Rudan's done a really good job there. We say it every time we talk about that team, but they're pretty much what we were last year. They've done a mad overhaul. They've taken an absolute pissant player in David Williams, and they've turned him into seemingly a star again, which is pretty much what we did with Naboot the last couple of years. They're going well. They've lost to Perth, but a lot of people are losing to Perth at the moment. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting, those stats you were talking about with the Wanderers game, how, you know, we were behind on most of the stats. It'll be interesting to see if we play with that kind of, you know, purpose, not possession theory again. It's probably no real surprise that we play that style where we don't have the ball a lot, and Redenton has one of his best games. So it'll be pretty interesting. They're pretty attack minded, and we defended really well against the Wanderers. So I'm slightly positive, to be honest.
Mitch, was it you who said a better keeper than Vedran would have saved it? Was that you who said that
yes.
earlier? Yeah. So
I say that a lot about Vedran.
So Philip Kershaw is a better keeper than Vedran. Philip Kershaw, I would say, is one of the best import keepers that the A-League's seen in a long time. Are we going to be able to put goals past him?
I sure as hell hope so. The guy, this is the guy that like dives after like goal kicks, right? He's interesting, and it's interesting that teams are using visa spots on keepers. It's not really normal to, because usually there's a decent choice for Australian keepers. So no, I know you're a big fan of keepers being one of the most important players in your team, Em, and you obviously rate him. So it'll be interesting to see what damage Roy and co can do against him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be difficult. I think we can break down their defence, but I'm not sure if we can get him past him, because, yeah, he's a madman. All right, so I'll go to you first, Lucas. Would you like to give us a tip for this game at home on Thursday night against Wellington?
Sure. I'll go a 2-1 win, and we score an extra time to win it.
Mitch, do you agree?
I want to tip a Bodie special, because I'd like for all our results from now on to be that. Thank you very much.
Golly, that's ambitious. Whew. I think it's going to be harder against Phoenix than we think, and I think we're probably going to have to rest some players with the Tuesday night game coming up. So I'm going to be less ambitious, and I'm just going to tip a 1-1 draw, and that way I can't be disappointed. Shall we tip the rest of the round while we're doing tips? Friday night, Roar are hosting Sydney FC. Is this a done deal? Should we just all Birdie special this and move on?
Roar are capitulating massively, and it's hilarious. So, yeah, Birdie special against them.
Are Roar going to have any players to put on the pitch?
Pretty much.
Like, did the whole team get sent off?
3-week suspension.
Yeah, and Jamie Young really is the best player on that team, and if even he can't keep his stuff together and he's getting sent off, then what are you going to do?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Bodie specials all round on that. Here's another one. Oh, what, you can't Bodie special this. Western Sydney Wanderers are hosting the Mariners. Is this going to be like one of those everyone breaks their legs and the stadium burns down kind of affairs, Mitch?
I hope this is one of those hilarious, it's like the race to last kind of thing. Who can stuff it up the most? So I'll tip a 5-4 win to the Wanderers with pure hilarity involved.
So a bit of a reenactment of this last round with everyone else's crazy games?
Yeah, they just score all the goals of the round in that one game.
Yeah, I'm going to tip 4 own goals each.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my feel. What do you reckon, Lucas?
It's such a dumb round, isn't it? Game. I'll go. I reckon it's going to be a 0-0 draw, and I reckon that one of the coaches is going to lose the plot, either at a ref or the opposition.
Or both the coaches at each other, because that's all they've got left, right? You know how like presidents start a war when they want to distract the voters from the nonsense going on in the real world? I think coaches are like that. Get a red card when your team can't get their stuff together.
Something like that is going to happen.
Yeah, cool. I look forward to that. Okay, this one might be an actual match. We've got Melbourne City hosting Adelaide United on Saturday night. Lucas, what do you reckon is going to happen there?
I'll tip a 1-0 Adelaide. Adelaide win with Goodwin getting the goal because he had a really good game on the weekend.
Yeah, if he's not broken from Jamie Young running through him.
That's true, yes.
Mitch, what do you reckon?
City are kind of a shadow of their former selves at the moment. I don't think they're playing well at all, but I think they'll bring McLaren in, so I'll tip a 2-2 draw.
Well, for me, this is our 4-5 playoff, and there's only 2-point difference between them, so I'm going to agree with Mitch and go a draw, but I'm just going to go 1-1 because I think they're both probably a bit broken from this last week. Last one is Melbourne Victory are hosting Perth Glory in the heat of the Sunday afternoon. Is everyone going to tip Glory there, or does someone want to be outrageous?
I think that'll be a fantastic game. They're both. I rate watching both of those teams. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw and a pretty good game to boot.
You agree, Lucas?
Yeah, I do agree. I assume Honda isn't back. We talked about it earlier. He's not going to be. Is he in the match day squad list?
They haven't come out yet.
Okay. Oh, well, either way, it'll be a cracking game. I really can't tip. I will tip a 2-1 win for Perth.
Yeah, I think Perth are just going to keep riding that momentum, and they're probably going to take victory. But again, this is the two first position, second position playoff, and there is only 4 points between them. So I'm probably not giving victory enough credit for their performance this season, but I still think Perth have got it. So I'm going to go 2-1 for Perth. Yeah, so that's the round. If you think we're crazy with our tips, do let us know on the socials. We do love talking football with randos, so hit us up if you disagree with any of our very specific predictions. I feel like I've missed something on my run sheet. Can anyone think of anything I meant to have said before I wind up?
There's the electronic E-League that happens in the A-League.
Oh, yeah, so please do tell.
I don't know heaps about it, but it's basically just a bunch of people play FIFA against each other with A-League branding. And so we've poached a Wellington player to play for us, and then we've signed the first female E-League player. So I think it's the second year this competition's running. I'm pretty sure Melbourne City at least pay their guy that plays for them. But, yeah, the big news from us is we've signed a girl named Liz somebody, and it's meant to be pretty cool. So I'm not into that. Like,
yeah,
I'm a dad of two and I still have a PlayStation 3, so I've been gaming for a while. But
I know a bit about it because I used to Twitch stream, which is like people watch you play video games and you kind of build like a, I guess you call it a fan base kind of thing. But her name's Liz Varley and she's from Maitland, so she's a newly girl. And says here she's been a fan since the 11-12 season, a member, but she's new to the pro scene, so it'll be interesting to see how she goes.
I'm glad you knew her name, Lucas, because I was like, yeah, you're a woman in the league, and then I was like, and the boys don't even know her name.
Her full name is Elizabeth Farley, and her Twitch tag is Nate Liz, and she's with the N8 Esports team, which are on socials as well. They're on Twitch and Twitter.
Yes. I fully don't understand the whole gamer thing, so I really can't comment, but I am stoked that there is a girl in it, but also kind of annoyed that there were no girls before now. So get in there, Liz, represent, show those boys what you can do, even if I'm showing my age and lack of computer game skills by not understanding this properly.
I'll tag her in this pod when it comes out because I followed her on Twitch and Twitter and she seems like a nice person. So
do you really want to tag her? Because Mitch couldn't remember her name and I've just bagged the whole E-League concept and not sure she's going to be very pleased with this accounting of her.
Maybe, but at least she knows that we're backing her. So I guess that's
absolutely. If she's playing for the Jets, no matter what she's doing, whether it's real or weird computer games, I'll back her all the way. All right. So I guess all that is left to say is we've mentioned our social medias. Find us there at Jetstream Newey. We're not on Twitch, but we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'll try and try harder with the Instagram coming up, especially with the ACL games coming forward. If you're listening to us, you have found us and know how to podcast. Apparently lots of you are just downloading us from directly from the homepage of newcastlefootball.net, but if you know how to work your iPod/smartphone, you can put us on subscribe on any of your regular podcasting apps, which means you won't miss out on anything because we have been a little bit, inconsistent with our timings lately. I think that's everything I meant to say. Other than that, I need to say thank you. Thank you, Mitch, for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Emma. And
or should I say thanks, Bernie?
Yeah. No, it was good fun. And can you do a shout out to producer Pete? I don't feel like he gets enough recognition because we don't hear from him enough.
Oh, yeah, excellent points. When further proof that I barely know how to use a computer, at the end of recording this, I literally just press stop and throw it at Peter and he makes all the internet happen. So, yes, you are right, Mitch. Let's say thank you to Peter for doing all that nerd stuff at the back end because I do not have the patience for it. Thanks, Peter. Also, thanks. Thank you for joining Lucas.
No dramas. It was fun to be on. And suck shit, Mitch Austin. Keep running that straight line, buddy.
Tell us what you really think, mate.
Oh, I just did.
Fair.
Lucas definitely does not miss Mitch Austin. Enjoy him, Sydney. You'll have to watch out for your turf with all that straight line running. That's it. So I'm just going to end by saying go to the Jets.
Vamos el Jercos.
Go to the Jets.
God, I thought neither of you going to back me up there for a second. Peter will delete that pause and I'll look like a crazy person. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin!